Evolution's biggest problem? The first millisecond of the Big Bang. How did anything come out of absolutely nothing? For most under evolution's sway, the evidence and facts do not matter. Their objection is more moral than scientific. If there is a God, he's an inconvenient truth, and so he must go. Today we'll see why he isn't going anywhere and why his creation is ample evidence of a genius designer. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a four-part series on the Darwin Delusion with a message on God's great universe. He's relating the Genesis account of creation.
God called the expanse heaven. Here he's creating the atmosphere. Because remember, God is readying the earth for animals, yes, but primarily for mankind. And so in order to do that, he creates the atmosphere, and apparently the earth was engulfed in water. Water was upon the face of the deep. So what God did is he separated it, and you have one layer of water going up. And that may have been a canopy upon the earth until the time of the flood. Some people believe that that's the case. But also there was water below. And in the so doing now, the atmosphere is being readied because animals are going to have to breathe and life is going to have to function on this planet. That's day number two. Day number three is dry land and the oceans and vegetation. Verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind. Very important. Different kinds of trees, yes. Development of trees, yes. But a fruit tree never becomes a giraffe. What you find is that the trees are according to their kind. The vegetation, the tomatoes, never become oak trees. Everything according to its kind. And so this was the creation of the dry land and the ocean and vegetation. Day number four, verse 14. God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be as lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser night to rule the night, and the stars. Talk about an economy of words. Oh, yeah, and the stars. Some time ago, another staff member and I drove to talk to an astronomer. He has telescopes by which he looks into the stars. And we drove up to Wisconsin, I think it was, to meet him, because he had heard our radio broadcast. And he showed us pictures of the stars. And I said to him, is it true that there are probably more stars in the heavens than there may be grains of sand on the seashores of the world? And he said, it's possible. Hundreds of millions upon millions and millions and huge stars. Oh, yeah. He created the sun, the moon, and the stars. Don't you love this God who can speak and the stars are in the heavens? That's day number four. Well, what about day number five? Day number five are the sea animals and the birds. You'll notice it says, verse 21, so God created great sea creatures. And every living creature that moves with which the waters swarm. You have such thing as sea serpents, all kinds of huge things. We're talking about whales and dolphins. My wife and I saw a documentary of some of the things that exist at the bottom of an ocean. It is just amazing, amazing. It is endless, and God just decided to create it. So God created great sea creatures and every living creature that moves with which the waters swarm, all of the fish according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply upon the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And then we come to the sixth day of creation. Verse 24, "And God said, Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth." Obviously, he created the dinosaurs according to their kinds, and it was so. "And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good." And then we read in verse 26, and God says, "Let us make man in our image." And that actually is the subject of the next message in this series. Just absolutely critical. The creation of man. Who we are. How this is to be distinguished from other philosophies of man. And the implications. That's the next message in the series. So here is God, and he creates all of these things, 6 24-hour periods, and suddenly all the creation is finished. You say, well, when did he do the creating? And the answer is, we don't exactly know how old the earth is. And because I'm not an expert in these fields, I refrain any judgment regarding the age of the earth, but I do want you to think about this creation account. Let me ask you a question. If you were to meet Adam and Eve after they were created, let's suppose that they were created in the morning, and Adam, of course, was created first, and then Eve later. Let's suppose that she was created in the evening. And then the next day you were to meet Adam and Eve, and you had the opportunity to talk to them. How old do you think they would look? Well, they may look about 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. They may look that old. But how old are they? Well, they were just created the day before. Obviously, God had to create the earth with the appearance of age. There's no other way that I know of that he could have possibly have done it. How do you create something full-blown unless it looks older than it really is? Now, I think that it's entirely possible when the Bible says, "And God made the stars also," it is entirely possible that he created the stars already shining on the earth. So you have a star that is 100,000 light years away, and its light is on the earth, because God says, "I'm making the earth ready for man." So all of those eons of evolution, the billions and billions and billions of years that it takes, the length of time it takes for light to come from stars to us, God just speeded it up like a fast movie camera. Boom, I speak, and it's all ready for man. So because of that, the earth could be much younger than all of our dating processes would indicate. What I'd like us to do is to look at creation for just a moment, and I know we've gone through this account very rapidly, but I want us to just think for a moment about this creation, ex nihilo, out of nothing. God speaks, and it's there. I mean, think about the power of his word. "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and the host of them by the breath of his mouth," said the psalmist. Imagine. Imagine, out of nothing, it all happened. But I want us to think about, first of all, its complexity. Its complexity. I need to tread carefully here, because these are areas in which I have very, very little knowledge. But what I did about a week ago is to watch a video on the human cell, just a cell of your body. And I was absolutely astounded. You know that every single cell has in it factories. It has delivery systems. It has recycling plants. It has on it a code that has to be in a certain order. You know that if you're reading something, the juxtaposition of letters means absolutely nothing unless they are all in the right order. So we're talking now about the complicated, intricate process of the DNA and who we are as persons. And we have these cells, and we have many, many of them. And by the way, evolutionists are sometimes impressed with the fact that our cells are similar to other animals. I was reading an evolutionist who said that what convinces him is the unity of all created life. I should have really pointed this out earlier. And we should not be surprised at that. We should not be surprised that many of our cells are similar to that of mice, for example, because God is creating life, and he's creating life to be on this earth, and we share with the animals the need to be able to breathe and all of the things that are a part of our atmosphere. So these cells may be similar to that of animals, but that does not make us animals. And that does not mean that within time we somehow are going to become something else. But back to this single cell. As I looked at it, and they showed pictures of its intricacy and how it all has to come together, and then I'm thinking of the fact that we have millions and billions of cells in our body, I just thought, wow, can't get over this. Now, to understand the complexity of believing that this was chance, you know that they have cereals today that have every letter of the alphabet in them, alphabet cereal. Let us suppose that you came home and you had left a bowl of dry alphabet cereal on the cupboard, and it was there on the table, and you came home and you noticed that on the floor your name was accurately spelled, your address was accurately spelled, and then underneath it said welcome home. Would you say to yourself, I know what happened? It was our cat. Just happened to take that bowl of cereal and obviously threw it on the floor, and it just happened that that's the way it came out. Chance. Statistical probability. Oh, I know that it's really off the charts in terms of probability, but we as humans hit the cosmic jackpot, and what happened is we know that there's one chance in 100 trillion that this could happen. I wish I had brought the statistics that I read this past week about one scientist who was trying to calculate the possibility that all this could have happened. I know that it's 1 in 100 trillion with a whole bunch of zeros, but you know, it did happen. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer. When it comes to harmonizing the Bible and science, it is very difficult and many people struggle, and I'm not sure that I have all the answers. But of this we can be absolutely certain: there is no such thing as a scientific explanation for the beginning of the universe apart from God. Read his word today, be encouraged by him, because to think, if you know Christ, we belong to him forever.
That was Dr. Erwin Lutzer wrapping up another portion of God's Great Universe, the second message in his series on the Darwin Delusion. Tomorrow, more on the wonder we feel when inspecting the details of creation. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. Our Christmas Favorites CD will add richness to your holiday season. And this CD is our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us tomorrow for our next Running to Win.